Thank you. Nidaba Sri Bhattarai Nivasa. So Gede Goswami said, Evam Daste Le Bhagavad Duta, servants of Lord Vishnu, Yamaduta, servants of Yamaraj, Abhibhashatam, what was spoken, Upadarya, hearing, Atta. And then, Tan, unto them, Rajan, O King, Katyahu, replied properly, Naya Kovida, being conversant in good arguments or good logic. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear King, the servants of Lord Vishnu are always very expert in logic and arguments. After hearing the statements of the Yamadutas, they replied as follows. Next to the Vishnudas said, alas, how painful it is that irreligion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person. Therefore, the Vishnudas accused the Yamadutas of violating the religious principles by attempting to drag Ajamil to Yamaraj for punishment. Yamaraj is the officer appointed by the Supreme Personality of God to judge religion and religious and irreligious principles and to punish people who are irreligious. However, if completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraj is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraj, but throughout human society also. In human society, properly maintaining religious principles is a duty of the king's court of government. Unfortunately, in this Yuga, Kali Yuga, the religious principles are tampered with and the government cannot properly judge who is to be punished and who is not. It is said that in Kali Yuga, if one can spend money in court, one cannot spend money in court, one cannot get justice. Indeed, in courts of justice, often the magistrates are bribed for favorable judgments. Sometimes religious men who preach the Krishna Goddess movement for the benefit of the entire populace are arrested and harassed by the police and courts. The Vishnudutas, who are Vaishnavas, lamented for these very regrettable facts. Because of their spiritual compassion for all the fallen souls, Vaishnavas go out to preach according to the standard method of all religious principles. But unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga Vaishnavas who have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord, sometimes harassed and punished by coarse and false charges, God is disturbing peace. Translation, Vishnudutta said, alas, how painful it is that irreligion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person. So in the last chapter, the Yamadutta spoke, and Sukadeva says here that actually they spoke nicely, but actually we see that their whole presentation was based on the normal conception of sin and the remedies for sin. So here the Vishnudutas reply or answer the statement of the Yamadutas. And since they are the servants of Vishnu, they are highly intelligent and perceptive, so they give a very proper answer. So they begin speaking, and they speak about Dharma, and how Dharma is being abused, and Adharma is being practiced. And referring to the fact that the Yamadutas have spoken something which is not correct, and therefore they are to be condemned because they're going to punish an innocent person. Of course, the Yamadutas have defended their position, said he's not innocent because he committed the sins. That, of course, is a fact. He did commit the sins. And he also did not do any normal atonements mentioned in the scriptures. That's also true. But the Vishnudra is saying, in spite of that, still, punishing him is actually wrong. He doesn't have any sin at all, which is very astonishing for the Yamadutas to hear, because they understood that he did sinful activity. So how is it possible he doesn't have any sins? So if a person commits sins, normally he gets sinful reactions. So how is it possible that he can't have any sinful reactions? That's the position. So, of course, if one does try stitches, then one can get rid of the reaction. But he didn't do that. So how is it possible he's without sin? So, of course, the answer to this is that he chanted the name of the Lord. So this is another aspect of, let's say, removing the sins. So it's also another type of atonement. But the nature of this atonement was not intentional. So that is what is surprising. If the Yamadutas had seen that Yamaraj was repentant, and therefore he was worshipping the Lord and chanting the name of the Lord, etc., then they would have probably said, okay, he has no sins. But in this case, he didn't do that. He simply named his son Narayan and called his son. So, how's that going to remove sinful reactions? Normally we have to intentionally do prayaschitta or atonement with a good intention, and then we can get rid of some of the reactions. In the case of Ajamil, he had no intention of getting rid of sinful reactions. He had no idea that he would get reactions at all, really. He didn't care. And he was going on with his life committing sinful acts. And he also chanted the name of the Son. So how is it possible that that can actually make a certain person sinless? So the Yamadutas were not aware of the power of the name. So the Vishnudutas have come to explain this, that actually even accidental chanting of the name when a person is not devotional, is not a devotee, it can also destroy the sinful reaction. So therefore, the person is sinless. He committed the sins, but at the same time, you cannot punish him because of that. And it's not that he intentionally wanted to get rid of his sinful reactions. He didn't even do that. It was accidental. Still, the result was there. So, this of course is an easy way, or a very simple way, in which one could avoid hellish punishment. That was the question of Parikshit. How can people get rid of these hellish punishments described in the fifth canto? So, this is the easiest way. The Parikshit already rejected the atonement method as being superficial, and the Gan method being difficult. So, here, the chanting of the name is given. So, the chanting of the name is given, but it is also accidental chanting of the name. So it is without intention. Even then, it has very, very great results. So the effect that one gets from atonements, or the effect one gets from practicing jnana and other difficult processes, is achieved by accidentally chanting the name. So therefore, from this we understand the great power of the name. In this case, it is the name of Narayana. But we also know that a thousand names of Narayana is equal to one name of Rama, and three names of Rama is equal to one name of Krishna. So, if this is the effect of chanting Vishnu's name, Narayana, how much more effect we get from accidentally chanting Krishna's name? That should also be understood. So, the great effect is here with this, but even greater effect we can get from chanting the name of Krishna. So, what is the difference? If the name of Vishnu can destroy all one's karmas, past, present, and future, by chanting accidentally once, what more do we need? What more, how we can increase over that? So, the answer is that chanting the name of Krishna
accidentally is a good, but chanting the name even in hatred works. Not just accidentally, but if one intentionally chants with hatred, that also will destroy one's karmas. So that is the case with Krishna's name. It destroys even a person chants in hatred. So that is the case with Sisupala. He chanted in hatred, and all of his karmas were destroyed. So that is the greatness of Krishna's name. It does even more, takes a lower person. So though this is accidental, we also understand no aparad. And because there's no aparad, then it worked. So people who have aparads and chant the name accidentally or even intentionally will not get this effect. They'll get some effect, definitely, but they will not get completely this effect. So in the case of people who commit aparads and also chant the name, they can gradually get destroy their karmas, etc. So they have a more gradual process. Those devotees who commit no aparads, they very quickly advance. Not only they destroy all their karmas, etc., but very quickly they advance towards Krishna by developing more attraction for Krishna. They can go through the stages of Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava very, very quickly. So, this effect that Ajamil got depends on no aparads, no offenses. So this is accidental chanting of the name. This is one type of namavas for people that have no faith. If one has faith, then we don't accidentally chant the name anymore. We intentionally chant the name. But this can also be called namavas. If we chant with ignorance of the position of Krishna and the position of the jiva and of the nature of pure bhakti, if we chant with ignorance, then it is still namavas, which means, yes, it can destroy our karmas and do all that, but it doesn't do more than that. In other words, through namavas, one cannot get up to the stage of prema. So that is the limitation of either type of namavas. So, of course, those who are devotees in doing namavas are superior to those who accidentally chant because they're actually advancing on bhakti. Whereas those who accidentally chant are not advancing in bhakti as such, they're destroying their karmas, but they're not really advancing much in bhakti. If they get mercy of devotees, of course, then they can advance. So, it is preferable, of course, namavas with faith is better. But, even then, sometimes that namavas is ineffective completely. So that is the case with people who intentionally chant, and it looks like they have faith, but actually they don't have faith at all, and they are chanting for other reasons, completely material reasons, or with the idea that we merge into Brahman, etc. So impersonals who chant the name get a completely different effect. They don't advance at all. Those who chant namavas normally with not too much contamination and some ignorance, they can advance slowly. And those that have this namavas with great philosophical deviations, they become aparadis, and that so-called namavas actually has no effect at all. So, better than that, of course, is pure chanting of the name. Accidental chanting is okay. As in the case of Ajamil, there's no other means of advancement for such a person. But better than that, of course, is chanting with faith. But better than chanting of faith with impurities and ignorance is chanting purely. That is, with knowledge. And avoiding all sorts of karma, misarbhakti, gyan, misarbhakti, etc. So when we do so, we get chanting the pure name. It's also as a sadhana. It doesn't mean we are pure absolutely, but we've understood the nature of bhakti and the nature of the Supreme Lord. So we chant, and this will lead to prema. So we have the stage of anartana vritti nishtarupsya sakti bhava prema. If one chants pure name, then very quickly one can go through those stages. If one chants in namavas, then of course it is a slower process. And in order to get to bhava and prema, then you have to actually give up that namavas and go to pure name anyway. So the lesson we learn is we should come to the stage of pure chanting. And how do we do that? By proper knowledge. So that is the purpose of Bhagavatam, to define the nature of the Supreme Lord, and particularly Krishna, and to separate him from everything else, and we should understand his unique position. And the Bhagavatam also gives us the nature of bhakti. It is not a material process. We cannot equate it with karma or jnana or yoga. It is part of Krishna's Surup Shakti. So it is a completely different type of process. And the nature of pure bhakti is stressed in the Bhagavatam, giving up all these other mixtures, etc. So if we have that in mind and we chant purely, then we can advance steadily on the path. So chanting in this way accidentally is the way of progress for those who have no faith, those who are completely unfortunate and have no faith. Better than that, of course, is developing some faith and intentionally chanting. If we do so, then we should also get the proper knowledge so we can chant purely. And then we have the proper process.
Also, I mean, even with us, we got purified by KMG. Only being
Well, the Yamadutas, of course, are already servants of the Lord, but they did have some unclarity there. And they also went to Yamaraj and spoke to him. So yes, they got an advantage of that. They were somewhat confused, but they finally understood. But more important than that is that Ajamil got benefit from that. And he became a devotee after that. He got faith from the association of the Vishnudutas. He understood the nature of the Supreme Lord. And then he began to practice bhakti.
This case is an exceptional case.
In an exceptional which way?
Because there are a lot of people who chant unintentionally, but he is the one who actually got association and then changed.
Yeah, if they don't get association, then they may discontinue. But of course, they destroy their karmas. That's not a problem. But they may not become devotees immediately. So if one somehow gets association sooner or later, then it is possible one can also become a devotee at that stage, because karmas are destroyed, so therefore one has the possibility of advancing. Well, any association with bhakti vinaya is purifying in any form. So any accidental form of bhakti, taking prasad or anything, it's all purifying. But of those different types, the most powerful is the name itself. That's the most powerful.
Maharaj, Ajamila must have chanted Narayan many times before, also because the sun was there.
Yeah.
So the appearance of Vishnu Bhutas are because he has chanted many times, or just
because
once?
Why not before?
Huh? Because he didn't die. Only when he was dying and the Yamadutas came for him, then they said, this is wrong, and they came. Huh? Yeah, of course, but even once is enough to destroy your garments. So Nani had to chant many times to destroy his garments. But he chanted many times, so that's even more beneficial. So we can say that added to the fact that, added to the possibility that because of that then he became a devotee later on.
Huh?
Yeah, but it didn't have any effect. It was cancelled out. All the effects were cancelled out. Of the Yamadutas, yeah. He didn't chant to remove his sinful reactions. Then it would be an offense. In one sense, or a fruit of at least. But he chanted this because it was his son and he was fearful. So therefore, it had effects still at that time. No, still they have to go through the process of bhakti in general. It depends if they have no devotion and they die in the holy dhamma. Of course, that's a devotional activity, but generally that requires that they do some intentional bhakti also. So we see that devotees over many lifetimes will do devotional acts intentionally to go to the spiritual world. So if someone could just go by dying in Vrindavan, everyone would go there and die and they wouldn't have anything. So obviously it's not a logical proposition that everyone is guaranteed everyone goes there and just goes to the spiritual world. Yeah, similarly, that's also, we can say, it's definitely good, and eventually they will, because it's also a, let's say it's a gap of sukriti or something, if they happen to die on that day, but at the same time, generally, the process is we advance by sadhana. Yeah, okay, so then eventually, it's not immediately he's going to go. That means everybody can go to commit suicide and not believe him. Doesn't make sense. Eventually they get some advantage by dying in the Dham, but as I said, generally we have to go through the process of sadhana. Yeah, but still I'm saying they're not going to just automatically go to the spiritual world because of that.
Those devotees who are having faith on the Lord and the holy name and chanting the rounds but not with concentration, what will be their position in advancement in bhakti?
What's that? They don't... Well, everybody advances by chanting something, but the purer you chant, the quicker it is.
Adamla, in his earlier part of his life, also was devotional and doing so many aspects and reading Vedas a lot. Other time also he has chanted the holy name. So if we say that only by accidental chanting he has been saved, does it mean that whatever the devotional service he did in his earlier part didn't have any effect?
It doesn't mention he did devotional activities. He was a Brahmana. But so many Brahmanas are not devotees. So it didn't say he was a devotee Brahmana. It says he was a Brahmana. That's all. So we assume he was not a devotee. Because then those activities would have been considered also.
But you would have chanted the Lord's name so many times.
How do we know?
Reading the Vedas. Yes, read the Vedas.
Well, so many Shivites are out there, Brahmins. Are they devotees? He could have been a Shivite, we don't know.
But in case of devotee, he should be intentionally chanting and should be worrying about that. But sometimes you see that they are, may not be very philosophically inclined.
Well, they have to have some intelligence. If they can't understand that Krishna is different from a devata, then it's very difficult for them to advance. So if they think Krishna's got a material body, then it's very difficult for them to advance. That much intelligence they have to have.
So when we say our philosophy means principles should be clear.
Yeah, that's all. Our philosophy is not difficult. But they have to understand those principles. Otherwise, it's very difficult. they can end up merging in Brahman or doing so many other things as a result of their misconceptions.
And is it also possible that when just by chanting the names of the Lord, all these things becomes clear to
you? But generally, no. That is why we have to take Shastra, get knowledge from devotees. Well, Krishna gives them the intelligence by which they can come to them, so they should understand the Shastra by the mercy of the Lord. Well, depends on how you take the Shastra and if you learn from devotees or non-devotees, that's all. Well, the principal name is said to be Krishna, so that's the most important name of all Krishna's names. Of course, they all have their advantages, or they have particular pastimes that are associated with, but Krishna is all-inclusive of all of them.
You know, if we say and accept that anyone who is living his body on a dham, in a dham or on a ekadasi day, go to Vaikuntha, then the words of Krishna, Yamyam Vatishkam, what is said at the time of the body, they don't remember me at the time of the body becomes the super presence.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is they should remember when they leave the body.
Yeah, in other words, if we're not devotees, then these prescriptions accidentally have some effect, but they don't give the ultimate results.
Somebody is angry now, what happens to him? His karmas are no more. There is no next body for him.
Well, for one who has namabhas as a devotee, he has choice, of course. If he wants, he can get up to by the mercy of the Lord. He can go to Vaikuntha without rasa. Or, of course, a devotee who is not perfected can take another birth and progress again on the path of bhakti again, go further, which is normally the case with devotees. Their namabhas may not be so much intentional, and they're actually striving for pure bhakti. So not that case, they would just take another birth and continue their bhakti.
What's actually for the pure chanting? How do I know that I'm chanting pure?
Well, we have to have the proper philosophical conceptions and avoid mixing bhakti or bhakti with desires for material enjoyment, etc.
When I'm chanting, if I know what I can just clear the names, if I'm doing the pure chanting, you may not have any thought in the mind.
Well, we have to have a favorable attitude towards the Lord, that we're serving the Lord, we're not trying to get something for ourselves, that's all.
Is it possible at noon time or
noon time? You can do that at noon time. Otherwise, I'll have to repeat the same thing again at noon.
Hare Krishna Guru.
Practical example.
Yeah, Mataji Valley, huh?
Chanting.
Chanting.